Welcome back, and we proceed with Drive Time. 47913 is the SMS line, or 0722-380712, that's the WhatsApp line. On World Health Mentor Day, supported by the World Health Organization, the South African Depression Anxiety Group, SADAG, notes that 9% of all teenage deaths in South Africa are by suicide, adding that suicide is the second leading and fastest growing cause of death among young South Africans in the age 15 to 25. And joining us online is the founder of MySocialLife.com, Dean McCorry. Dean, good afternoon, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much for your time to have us on the show on a day like this.
Thank you. Maybe begin by telling us about your organization, My Social Life. What do you do?
Yes. So we offer a digital life skills program or a course which happens in schools in South Africa. We offer 10 individual lessons about life online. So that could be around, so if children are on devices, they need to understand privacy, security, they need to understand sexuality online, they need to understand cyberbullying, critical thinking, and the way in which to approach things, not to kind of do things in a very rushed fashion and get themselves into all sorts of trouble. They need to understand issues around mental health, which is what we're talking about here today. So how social media can make you compare yourself to others and really feel, make you feel really bad, actually, and also make you do things which can make you feel really bad. So we offer that program in schools. We teach children from the age of 9 up to the age of 17, and we come in term after term and help the school to bring in a digital education program. The other thing we also do is we also train the teachers as well, and we train the parents. So what we're doing is we're trying to get everybody that is responsible for kids who are in education to be supported, to get a clear picture of what life is really like online, what's happening.
So now let's look at social media, because these are very critical times, especially that there's so much prevalence of social contact going on. So how does this affect mental health, especially to young users?
Okay, so let's realize that we live, not just in this country, but around the world, in some pretty complex times. We've got political uncertainty, financial uncertainty. We've got a lot of crime happening, not just here, again, overseas. And what's happening is that we are often accessing this information that, in general, just in a normal life, in physical life, wouldn't make us feel so good. It would make us feel uncertain, insecure, anxious. And so what happens is we are now viewing that through this little black screen that lies in our back pockets, and we're viewing it on a number of different devices. So people are talking about things on WhatsApp, and they are seeing the news on social media feeds, and that includes kids. So kids have access to this TV screen, which is showing all sorts of information. That's the one aspect, okay, which is access to information and exposure that maybe kids otherwise wouldn't have had. The second part of it is that they then communicate and socialize online. And inside that, there's a lot of kind of volatility, or a lot of people kind of triggering each other. We see a lot of trolling on social media. All of us see that. And so what happens is people like to play out a character or play out a role on social media. We see it literally every day. And what that does to kids, preteens and teenagers, is it triggers them to either get revenge or behave badly, or sometimes people are tricking them and getting them to take naked photos or to click on certain links and share their credit card with somebody that might be trying to, get their details and do some fraudulent activity. There's a lot of stuff online. And then we have kids operating these devices. That's really complicated.
Let's look at the program that you are running and imagine the environment where you are, especially when you are dealing with the children. What are they telling you? What are you getting out of them? What are you seeing there?
It's such an amazing question, honestly, because I think that's where we are really privileged in what we do, is that because we are one of the very few organizations that go into schools time and time again, term after term, we're accessing that information. So let me show you. The first thing I'd say is that do not assume that just because a child looks comfortable and adept online, you don't really know what they're doing. Okay, unless they're sharing everything with you, unless you've got complete access. And I'll tell you why. What are they sharing? They're saying, listen, we don't really want to tell our parents about our fears and concerns online. I'll give you an actual number. I'd say somewhere between around about 3 to 4 out of 10 may experience things online and will not tell their parents. Because what are they worried about? They're worried about having their cell phone taken away. This is a problem. So we need to create a trust space where kids can still communicate with us about some of their experiences online without them fearing that you're going to rip the phone out of their hand and lock it up in a drawer for a week. And I think that's extremely important. So I think if we realize that, that's going to be a great start. We need to realize that the issues are serious and that kids can look comfortable, but perhaps they're not that comfortable. Other things that they share with us is that many of them are actually experiencing cyberbullying. There was a big Vodafone survey done in 2017, which said 1 in 4 SA teens, South African teens, had experienced cyberbullying. Where we are seeing that as actually a higher number than that. Because what happens is it's a volatile environment. You are socializing all day long for hours at a time. And so what happens is people are saying bad stuff to you, or they're getting cross, or they're jealous of you. Because you've got to remember, all the time we're sharing images which invites a comment back, and not always a positive comment. And then that makes you go, hey, how dare you? And I'm going to get something back, like on you. I'm going to say something back to you. And then it just kind of escalates from there. So cyberbullying is really high. Another one, what else could I share with you? So, for example, a lot of the kids, I think the statistic is about half of the kids are saying that their parents don't really implement a program or boundaries, specific rules around how they should be operating online. That's a lot, right? So, and the problem is, if you think about it in schools, they also aren't operating. There isn't a digital curriculum. There isn't a digital education program. We're one of the first. So they're saying, hold on, you're asking us to behave better, but nobody really knows how, and there's no rules in my house. In some houses there are, but in lots of houses there aren't. So parents need to draw up an agreement about what's acceptable and what not, but they need to do it in a way in which they build trust, as opposed to being pretty threatening. I mean, you can be threatening in serious situations. You know, you could be cross with your kids, and you have to. But remember, the thing is what they want to do is they want to end up hiding their devices. And if you take the devices away from them, then they're going to go and borrow a device if they can, or they're going to get data from somewhere else. So we've got to try and build trust and support these kids, because that's where, if they feel lost or if they're hiding their emotions, that is where mental health issues come up.
In fact, that's the last question that I wanted to ask when it comes to parenting. But looking at a day like today, what should parents be telling their children?
I think parents should be sharing the journey with their children. So it's not even so much telling them. I would say it's more about asking them. Okay, so first of all, what I would say with parents is, if they can, you can actually set up access that if a child downloads an app, they should get the permission. So there is a way in, say, certain, either in Android or so on, that with certain ages, if the child wants an app, it flags on the parent's phone. So first of all, you have to give approval as to whether the child gets data, whether the child gets a phone, whether the child gets an app. And so what they need to do is have a discussion, sit down, say, I'll tell you what I think is acceptable. I don't think it's acceptable for you to just to be able to buy your own apps. It's not acceptable for you to bully under any circumstances. It's not acceptable for you to take your clothes off and share that picture with a boy, because the actual data shows that many, many boys, I don't even want to tell you how high that statistic is, will share that photograph. You need to know that statistic, because it's not going to serve you well to do that. So what they need to do is, we need to sit down and say, look, these are the rules of our house, and this is how those rules look like online. These are the things we as a family won't do. But it also needs to be a conversation where you need to say to them, well, what do you think of that? And they're going to be, don't be so unreal, dad or mum. You know, you don't even know what it's like online. Perfect. Find out, what is life like online? Is it complicated? Are you feeling social pressure? Have you had a cyberbullying situation? Have you ever done anything risky? And often kids don't want to talk about it. But one way or the other, you can get them to talk about it if you either try different ways of getting them to open up to you. And I think that's the key, is we've got to be careful about telling them, because I promise you, you've no idea how savvy they are. They're more savvy than adults in many, many ways. They even try to be more savvy than me when I'm teaching them. And they don't understand that we as adults know more about life. We know more about other adults. We know more about the tricks that people play on each other. And they don't know that. And it's trying to get them to understand that you can both offer something to each other. But you can't do that if there's no lines of communication. And the one thing about lines of communication is, if you feel supported, if you feel loved, if you feel like someone's there for you, you can handle things. And on a day like today, World Mental Health Day, people need support. They need support and love from their family, from a friend, from the community, from support groups like SADAG or Safety Net. You know, there are places out there that will help you, but they need to feel like you get it, that you're willing to get into a conversation, a dialogue, not a monologue with them. And I tell you what, that's really cool. But in a way, we've often started out on the wrong foot. You know, we kind of have been frustrated with our kids. And if we realize it's a genuine problem, we can stop now and start listening and get onto Google and look up the apps that they're on, like TikTok. What is TikTok? Type it into Google. TikTok risks and challenges. TikTok tips for parents. You know, my child has just done this. Google will tell you everything. You're not that alone. There's tons of help. But you've actually got to go, oh, it is a problem. My child is using this app. What is that? How can I actually get in tune with what they're doing on that app? And what advice could I give them when we got into a conversation?
That's Dean Makobre, is founder of mysociallife.com. Thanks very much for speaking to us.
Thanks for the time. Awesome.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the